Well, today we're going to continue with the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in there for quite a while, and we just need to remember that this is Jesus' instruction to us as followers of Him on how we are supposed to be different than the world, how we're supposed to be different than the false believers, how we're supposed to be different than the scribes and the Pharisees. And today He's going to talk about a particular aspect of our worship, of our reverence to God, and He's going to talk about being real or authentic and not being a fake, not wearing a mask. So that's what we've talked about, removing the mask. So I want to talk about the word He's going to use. The word He's going to use is, don't be a hypocrite in your worship. Now, you know, we think of hypocrites as being people who say one thing and do another. Sometimes we call them two-faced people. But the word that Jesus uses was basically this, and it came from the Greek plays. It's those people that wore a mask. And you see, the purpose of the mask was to conceal or hide their identity, or sometimes to deceive people. But it was okay on the stage. It was okay in the world of being an actor. The idea was that a hypocrite was someone that treated the world as a stage on which he or she was an actor. And it didn't matter what face they wore. It didn't matter what mask they wore. But again, okay on a stage. When you go to see a movie, you certainly expect that people are going to be somebody else. Whoever the hottest movie star is now, you understand they're playing a part, right? And when they went to a play, they understood that these actors, you know, sometimes they would hold a mask up with a frowny face. Sometimes they would hold a mask up with a smiley face. Sometimes they would hold a mask up with a scar. They were acting their part. But when it comes to religion and the worship of God, there is no place for hypocrisy. And this is what the lesson from Jesus is going to be about today. So as we get ready, turn over to Matthew 5. We'll read it in just a minute. But I want you to understand that there's a twofold problem with religious hypocrisy. And I always put religious in quotes because Christianity, as you know, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. But we've seen the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious leaders of the Jews, they were not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They were not in a relationship with God at all. What they were doing was following a list of 613 do's and don'ts. They had a checklist. And boy, if they met every 613 do and don't, they thought they were righteous. They thought they were good. They thought they were entitled to go to heaven. And this whole sermon that Jesus is preaching is one giant invitation to the scribes, to the Pharisees, to the pagans, and to us to put our faith in Him so that we can be different than these false religious people, so that we can be truly in a relationship with Him. So one of the problems with the false religious teachers comes from an incident that happened a few years later. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 23, and Jesus here is confronting the scribes and Pharisees yet again. And I want you to listen to what He says about how their hypocrisy, how their false faceness is dealing and impacting the people. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites." This is in verse 13 of Matthew 23. "You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." He goes on, as if that wasn't enough. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." You see, what was going on was these scribes and Pharisees, they were pretending to be religious and they were teaching the people to be religious. They were teaching the people to be this false kind of religion. They were teaching the people that when you come to church, you put on your mask. When you go do service for the Lord, you have a mask. They were teaching them to be only concerned with what was on the outside. Am I doing it? Am I giving enough? Am I praying enough? Am I fasting enough? Am I doing all the things in the sight of people so that I get acknowledged, so that I get rewarded, so that I get praise from the people? And that was hurting people, because it was taking away from true relationships with Jesus Christ. They were focusing on the wrong things. They were trying to live their lives with this impossible checklist. And remember, we read back in chapter 5, Jesus said, "Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees in order for you to get into heaven." And boy, when the people heard that, they were stunned, because to them, nobody could be more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees. Well, Jesus is going to talk to us about three aspects of worship today where they looked righteous. But once again, He's going to tear down that hypocritical worship. He's going to tear down the false kind of righteousness that they had. That's one danger, is leading people astray. The second danger is deceiving ourselves. And Jesus is going to talk a lot about this when we get to the end of chapter 7. But in James, James warns us. He says, you know, don't simply be a hearer of the word. You got to do it. You got to, if all you do is listen, let it go in one ear and out the other, you're deceiving yourselves. And here was the problem with those people who were being taught by the scribes and Pharisees. Yep, got my checklist today. I have done all 613 things. I am good. Where's God? Well, I don't know. I just know I've done my 613 things. Where's Jesus? Who? I've done my 613 things. Y'all ever get like that? Y'all ever have a list of things to do and that is all you can focus on? Anybody else OCD in here? I am. Okay, a couple of honest people. Good. And that's how we get. We get focused on these to-do things, and we forget why we're doing them sometimes. And that's what He's going to talk to us about today. So stand, if you will. Let's read Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, and then 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, He says, "Take heed, beware that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Then jump over to verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." You can be seated. So I just want you to put this in context. Jesus is still continuing His teaching on righteousness. If we look at verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1, it actually says, "Take heed that you do not do your righteousness before men." It's talking about charitable deeds, but the word could also be translated righteousness. So Jesus is looking at why we do things. Now look, He's told us that we're supposed to be a city on a hill, the light on the hill, right? He's told us that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. So He's told us we're supposed to do good deeds, and even that those good deeds are supposed to be seen. But watch what he says. Be careful, beware that you do not do them before men to be seen by them. The object here that the scribes and the Pharisees were doing was doing their good works before men so that they could be seen. And when they were seen, you know what happened? They got claps. They got claps. They were wearing a mask. They were wearing this mask, and this mask that they were wearing was one of religiosity. They were wearing it to conceal who they really were, we're going to read, and they were wearing it to deceive the others because they wanted people to follow them. Not necessarily to follow God, but to follow them. So Jesus is saying, look, you need to make sure, beware that you are not doing your good works, your righteous acts, your charitable deeds to be seen of men. Yes, people are going to see them, but you're not doing them for that reason. And then he gets real, real picky. He's going to talk about three parts of religion, quote, religion, that appear in every single religion. I don't care if it's in the Quran, if it's in the Torah, if it's in the Bible. It's even in Buddhist literature. We're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about giving, we're going to talk about praying, and we're going to talk about fasting. And when, if you'll notice, Jesus didn't say, if you do these things, he's going to talk about all three. He says, when you do, when you do, when you do. So he's contemplating that his followers are also going to do these three things. But he's going to say, look, I want you to be different in the why you do them. I want you to do them for the right reason, not the hypocritical reason. I want you to remove your mask when you do these things. I don't want you to do it as an actor on a stage to be seen by people. Take off your mask. Get off the stage. This is between me and you, he says. And they're going to follow a typical pattern as we go through this in great detail. He's going to set up the hypocritical practice, and he's going to tell you how he wants his people to do these three things. Does he want us to pray? Yes. Does he want us to fast? Yes. Does he want us to give? Yes. Does he want us to do it before men? No. Does he want us to do it to be seen by men, to get our name on the church annex that we'll build in a few centuries? You know, we want the park swing? No, that's not why we do things. That is absolutely not why we're to give. So let's look at the first one. The first one is about giving, and this is verses 1 through 4. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then he's going to describe something that happened every day in verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have their glory from men. So you need to understand what's going on here. In those days, the synagogue had some giant horns, and they would call people to give their tithes and offerings. So when this horn sounds, number one, you would see people running through the streets. Okay? And, you know, they tried to look like they, you know, carrying the big bags, carrying whatever they were going to tithe, big giver coming through, you know, maybe they had a t-shirt, big giver coming through, whatever it was, that they would do that. And then when they would get right before they dumped it into this, it was also a horn, they had a little ring. Y'all ever heard the expression, toot your own horn? Anybody ever heard that? This is where this comes from. They had a little ring, and on that ring, it had a little horn. So right before they dropped their offering into the other horn, they would do this. Do-do-do. That sounds. If you hear that sound, what are you naturally going to do? You're going to look around, and then when you've looked, you see them putting their money in. Jesus says, those people got their reward. He says, they're done. Because they were doing their giving to be seen of men. He says, you know, basically he gives us three options. He says, either you're doing your giving, your righteous deeds to be seen by other men. Number two is you're doing them to be seen by yourself. Neither one of those is godly, by the way. Third is you're doing it for the glory of God. Only that last one is glorifying God. So how is it that we do things to glorify ourselves in our giving? Well, if we talk about the annex, you know, if I'm giving my charity so I get my name on something, if I get recognized publicly, that's doing it, can be doing it for my glory. God knows our heart. Doesn't mean we are, but it can be, right? So we need to think, you know, why am I giving? And look at the next verse, verse 3, where he's talking about even sort of how we approach things ourselves. He says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus knew that most of the people back then were right-handed, so he's going to assume that you're putting your offering in with your right hand. So he's not supposed to let our left hand see what our right hand is doing. The idea there is we don't need to be focused on our own gift. Our left hand doesn't need to know how much is being given by the right hand. It doesn't need to know exactly what's being done by the right hand. He's saying, don't do it even for your own gratification. Don't do it for your own knowledge. Do it solely because you want to honor God. You know, the Pharisees loved the praise of people. They loved it when people turned around. And, you know, that one, we understand that. People are still like that today. People love to get praise. And we just need to be careful while we do things. That one's kind of, like I said, that one's easier to understand. Giving with our own thoughts in mind is a little harder. What's he mean when we're not supposed to let our left hand know what the right hand's doing? I mean, I got to write the check, right? I got to get money out of my wallet. I got to do something, give the credit card number, whatever it is I'm going to do to help people. He wants us to help people. Remember, he says, when you do this. So what's he talking about? He's not saying don't keep your checkbook register. He's not saying don't file your taxes. He's not saying any of that stuff. What he's saying is don't dwell on it. Don't gloat on it. Don't let it make you feel better. We should give, as he's going to tell us, because we want to. We should give because God gave to us, and it is just an extension of him. Don't do something to make yourself feel better. Don't do anything to make yourself, even give your own self credit. And that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Can be. You know, do we pat ourselves on the back when we write that big tithe check? Big offering check? I hope not. And it's not just money here, though. Let me tell you something. It's given of your time. It's given of your resources. It's given of your prayer time. You know, next week we're going to have, or this week, I guess, we're going to have a lot of people working at VBS. And I pray that each and every one of you who is working, who's praying, is doing it because you want God to work. Don't do it because you want to be teacher of the week. We're not having that, by the way. But don't do it because you don't want to be teacher of the week. Do it because you want to serve God. You want to worship God. You want to learn. You want to teach other people to believe in God. You know, some people think this is a trite saying, but it came from Jesus Christ himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's true. He wants us to give. He wants us to be worshipful. It is an act of worship to give, but he wants us to do it from the right frame of mind. He says, put away that mask. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. Look in verse 8, jump down just a little bit. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. He's talking about prayer there, but specifically, but he's talking about everything. Jesus is trying to teach these people and tell us that the only way we can live a truly Christian righteous life is to live it through him. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We tend to fall into these traps like giving. Another one is praying. So let's look at the second one. Jesus warns against our hypocrisy in praying. And this is going to be in verses 5-8. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Jesus is talking to a country, a nation that prayed 3 times a day wherever they were. If they were on the street corner and the prayer bell rang, you know what they're going to do? They're going to pray right then and there. They're going to make this effort to pray. And it's okay to pray on the street corner. It's okay to pray in church, to pray in the synagogue. But look what Jesus says. He says, look, when they stand on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. That phrase again. So here's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Pharisee that stands on the corner. We'll talk about standing in the synagogue in a minute. And what they would do if they stood on the corner, they would raise their hands and they would recite the prayer really, really loud on the street corner. And he says, that's okay, except they were doing it to be seen. Again, I got my religious mask on. That's what they were doing. I'm going to look religious. He said, don't be like them. We've already seen the Pharisee inside the synagogue. If you remember from Luke 18, we had the Pharisee standing up front praying and the horrible little tax collector, you know, in the back. And I want you to listen again in light of what we've been talking about, this hypocrisy about what you're praying. I want you to listen to what the Pharisee said. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tithe of a tenth of all I have." Where is any of that glorifying God? Did you hear anything in that prayer that glorified God? If you've been coming on Wednesday nights, you know that the purpose of prayer is communion. It's talking to God. It's getting to know Him. It's part of worship. Jesus says we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. Jesus went up to pray. Jesus prayed in private. He prayed in public. But you don't see Him doing these things to be seen by men. You don't see Him praying to get the, you know, Man of the Year award. You don't see Him praying to get recognition. You see Him praying to get God's will done. You see results and responses. He says, don't be like that. Here, instead of praying on that street corner to be seen by men, here's what I want you to do in verse 6. I want you to go in your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And what's he saying there? He's not saying don't pray in public. He's not saying don't even pray on the street corner. He says, I want you to shut out the world. And I want you to shut yourself in too. So when we come to praying, if we're praying here, when we do our prayer of invitation, we're a corporate body. We're all going to be praying. You know what he's saying? Don't look at the person next to you. Don't squint and see what Margaret's doing. Don't do that. He's saying, you deal with God alone. You deal with God in your private, personal conversation with Him. That's what non-hypocritical prayer is. It's real. It's authentic. It's talking to God. It's telling Him things He already knows. Because remember, your Father already knows what you need. He already knows what you're going to ask, and He already knows what you need, but He wants you to ask so that it shows your dependence on Him. It shows your recognition of who He is in your life. So He's saying, come into your closet. Some people have a real prayer closet. That's great. We all have our designated areas where we kind of get alone, and that's wonderful. But He's saying, even if you're in a crowded room, on a crowded interstate, whatever, put the blinders on here. And just be you and God. Don't care what other people are looking. Don't even care what you're looking at yourself. Be God. Be with you and God. So put out all those worldly things and get away from them. And be real in your prayer. Don't do it to be seen by men. We're going to talk about the model prayer in a couple of weeks, what some of us call the Lord's Prayer. And what he's trying to get us to do is to think about what we're praying, get into it. Don't just follow the rote words that we all learned as a kid. Don't just say the same prayer every single day at lunch or dinner, unless you mean it really. If you think about it and you mean it, great. But don't just go through the same words. So then he goes to the third example. And this is another thing that he expected us to do. Go over to verse 16. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So look, the Pharisees and the scribes, part of their 613 do's and don'ts was a very religious fasting schedule. They fasted every Monday and Tuesday. And to them, that meant total abstinence from food. So they would drink whatever they needed to drink, but they would not eat on Mondays and Tuesdays. You know, the Bible's full of stories about people fasting. Jesus fasted, all right? But what would the Pharisees and the scribes would do is they would put ashes on their face. So here they are, you know, Saturday and Sunday, they've had a good day, they've eaten. They put ashes on their face on Monday so that everybody would know they were fasting. Because the ashes is going to turn their face kind of white. He says, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. So they walked around. You know, can't do it with a goatee, but you have your frown going on. You have this, all this ash. And then he says they disfigure their faces. And that just means that what would happen with the ash is you're walking around and you kind of sweat. It goes and makes streaks down your face in the ash. So you walk around looking like you've been scraped by some kind of tiger that's made out of ash. And everybody knew. If you had those streaks on your face on Monday and Tuesday, oh my, brother so-and-so's fasting today. He must be really holy. He must be really righteous. Jesus said at the end of that verse, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward because they were doing it for men. They were doing it for people. And none of that stuff is in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell them to put their ashes on their face and to look sorrowful, to walk around. In fact, here's what Jesus said, which is completely consistent with everything else. Verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. You know what he's saying? He says, get up, take a shower, wash your face, gussy up. Nobody but God needs to know that you're fasting. Don't walk around with a sad countenance going, oh, I'm so hungry today, I'm fasting. It's been at least 25 minutes since I ate, you know. Don't do that. Or 2 days since, don't do that. Nobody needs to know because God knows. What he's telling us is he wants us to be real. He wants us to be authentic. And look, the bottom line of this lesson, if we look at this next slide, it's pretty powerful. God hates hypocrisy, but he loves authentic behavior. He hates hypocrisy, but loves authenticity. You guys are the same way. Do you have friends that act one way sometimes and sometimes act a different way? Are you a little leery of them sometimes? Then do you have friends that are just the same day in, day out? They may get on your nerves every single day. But at least they get on your nerves. They're consistent. They are who they are. That's what he's saying. He says, I want you to be, God made you. Be the person that God made you to be. Be authentic in your worship. Don't put on airs. If you want to come down and kneel in the front of the altar, come down and kneel at the front of the altar. You want to raise your hand in worship when we're singing a song, even though we're in a Baptist church, do it. You want to sit? Sit. You want to stand? Stand. He's saying be authentic, whatever it is. And you got to understand that the same reactions that we have to people who are hypocrites in front of us, that wear the two faces, that wear the mask, the dreadful impact that has on the relationship that they can have with Jesus Christ. What if we're the hypocrites? I don't know how many, I've heard this for years. I don't want to come to church because it's full of hypocrites. And you know, sad part is that's true. But I don't want to be one of those that they can point and go, yeah, that's one. You know? And we have people that say, well, I can't do this because he's hypocritical. He's two-faced. We don't ever want to be that person. It damages our witness. If you are somebody that is a hypocrite and you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and then you start cussing the next minute, or they saw you at the bar falling over last night and you're saying, hey, you shouldn't drink, it's not going to work. Just because it's Sunday, don't put on your religious mask, is what he's saying. Just because it's Saturday, don't put on your religious mask. Be authentic 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I want to finish with two more judgments that Jesus pronounced on the Pharisees and the scribes from Matthew 23. You know, this is the same interaction we read from earlier where he's telling that, look, you guys are not helping people. You're not being who I set you up to be. But these two, this is from Matthew 23. We're going to read verses 25 through 28. That's Matthew 23, beginning of verse 25. Jesus here really narrows it down. He's talking about being inside and out the same way. Because remember, the righteousness of the Pharisees that they were relying upon was external. It was only mattered what was on the outside. And he's going to give us two really just spot-on examples here of how that is false righteousness. And he tells us, don't be like these people. Verse 25, Matthew 23, says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. See, all they were doing is polishing up the outside so that this chalice, all nice spick and span on the outside. Then you turn it up, it'd have all kinds of gunk in it. Mold, black stuff, whatever. Were you going to drink out of that if you knew what it looked like on the inside? No, but if you just look at the outside, it looked really pretty, didn't it? That's what he's warning against. And look at the next one. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Ooh. That's not how to win friends and influence people, is it? Not by our standards. But Jesus was telling them the truth. And the thing, jumping ahead a little bit to the end of chapter 7, but he's doing this to draw them to him. He's doing this so that people realize none of this external stuff is good enough. Salvation is from the inside out. You know, people say, I got to clean my life up before I come to Christ. That's not the way it works. You come to Christ on the inside, he starts working, and it's going to work its way out. Your likes will change. Your dislikes will change. The people you hang around with may change. Are you still going to sin? Yes, the Bible tells us we will. Is it going to hurt you more when you do? Oh, yes. And the more mature you get as a Christian, the more each little sin's going to hurt. Because you realize that every time that you sin, you're nailing that cross in. You're nailing that bone into the cross. You're putting that nail just a little bit harder in Jesus. That's what he wants us to understand. And look, he says, you think about Jesus. There wasn't any pretense to him whatsoever. He didn't have education. He didn't have degrees. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a job other than being an itinerant preacher. He didn't have anything. Understand, this God who humbled himself to come down to save us had absolutely nothing. So what you see was what you got. Amen on that? Isn't that good? He was truly authentic, and he is calling us to be truly authentic. Because look, here's what's happened. If you're going to be that city on the hill, if you're going to be the light in that city, and you got a mask on, light's not going to come through. If you're going to be the salt, but you've masked your salt with a little bit of sand to make it more palatable, salt's not going to do its job. It's not going to preserve anything. It's not going to cleanse anything. It's not going to flavor anything. You're going to eat sand, which doesn't taste good. He's saying, I want you to be real. I want you to be authentic. Another tough word, you know. But again, they're his. And that's what he calls us to do. The only way we can be truly authentic is we've put our faith in him, we've given our lives to him, and we take our lead from him. If we're playing religion and we're playing church, we can't be like this. We're going to fall into that same trap of the Pharisees. And at the end of chapter 7, he's going to run into some people that say, when at the end of the time, he says, I didn't know who you were. Who are you? He goes, but Lord, look at all these great things we did in your name. We gave. We did these miracles. We did all this stuff. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. The key is, do we know him? We can only know him if we're authentic. We only know him if our hearts are authentic. Give him your heart. If you've not done that, today's a great day to do it. If you've done it and you got convicted a little bit by this sermon, it's his sermon. I'm just telling you what he said. If you've been convicted by what he said all those years ago, change today. Take your mask, rip it up. Say, I'm not going to wear it anymore. I'm dropping it. And be authentic. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come to you again to thank you for this amazing word from your Son all those years ago. It's still so relevant today as it was the day that he gave it. I pray that we don't deceive ourselves, Lord, that we look into our hearts, we look into our lives, and we ask ourselves, have we really, truly, authentically given ourselves to your Son? If we are, it's going to show. But we need to be careful that we don't put that mask on. We don't ever put it on again. That we do everything for your glory, not for ours, not to be seen by other people, and not even sometimes to be seen by ourselves. Father, I pray that you just create in us a pure heart, that you give us the mind of Christ, that you give us this desire to share your love with everyone and point everyone to you for your glory. The Bible tells us that that is why we are created. Plain and simple answer, to glorify you. I pray that we do that always. In this we pray, in your Son's name. Amen.